And John says that you can know whether you'll see him or not. So you see, it is incumbent upon you to be holy.
Amen.
So that you can see him again, if you truly want to see him again. And you can know that now. There's no reason for us to say, well, I don't know where I'm going. I gotta get right. No, you should know where you're going.
Amen.
And the way you conduct yourself in this life will put you in a position to know exactly where you're going.
Yes.
So if you're not sure, you got some work to do.
Amen.
You got work to do. Praise God. And it's His breath that's in our mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. I always love that song.
Amen.
Because I always think that in the beginning, when God created man, He said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And then it says that in that preparation, He kneeled down on the ground and formed man out of the dust of the earth.
Amen.
And then He blew His breath into his body.
Hallelujah.
And the man became a living soul. That special nourishment that He gave us, His breath, it caused us to be a living soul. So you see, it is His breath that is in our bodies.
Amen.
So we should give Him all the praise.
Yes.
We should give Him all the praise. Praise God. I'm going to get grab this. I want to talk to you this morning from the book of Chronicles. I want to talk about 2 Chronicles chapter 19, beginning at verse 4, when Jehoshaphat set himself up a new administration and instructed them in all of the things that they needed to do. He instructed the religious leaders, the judicial people, the praise people, the Levites. He got everything in order, and he figured that everything is good now. Now, once you get your cabinet set up and you get everybody in place, you can kick back now and relax, because they can handle every matter that comes before the country. That was his situation, his plan. But watch in verse 20, it said it happened after this. After he had got everything in order, it happened. What happened? It says people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. Now, I want to stop there. We need to stop there and look, because this is paramount to where we want to go today. It says that after he had put everything in place and had relaxed, he heard that a multitude of people, three nations, in other words, was coming against him to attack him. And do you remember what it said? It says he feared. What did he do? He feared, it says. But if you read it, it says that the fear came, but it went just as fast as it came. He feared, and then he immediately sought the Lord. That's the part I want us to understand this morning, that when he feared, he immediately sought the Lord. You see, fear and faith cannot stay in the same place. Fear has no place in faith. We talk about it all the time. You can only have one or the other. If you got fear, you got no faith. If you had faith, then you can do away with the fear. And it says that when the fear came upon Jehoshaphat, immediately he sought the Lord. He had faith. Now, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, he writes that these things happened and they wrote them down for our example and our admonishment to tell us what to do and to warn us when we're not doing what we're supposed to do. So he wrote these things down. Jehoshaphat had never heard that statement. I'm sure he had never heard that. But he experienced it, and so Paul used it to tell us what we should do. When you run into a problem and fear sets in, get rid of it as fast as you get it. Get rid of it as fast as you get it. Because it has no place in faith. And when you're in fear, then you're not at 100%. You're not up to speed, in other words. Because your mind is going to be traveling now, telling you all the bad things that's going to happen to you. Telling you all the things that could happen to you. Telling you all the things that might happen to you. Telling you all the things that you remember what you heard that happened to somebody else when they had. So all of these things will cause you to lose your balance. And when you lose your balance, then you're set for the enemy to wipe you out. The enemy can just handle you any way he wants to. Because he's got you. So when fear set in, it says he immediately sought the Lord. And he didn't just seek the Lord in his prayer closet or go out in the backyard in the dark in the corner and pray. It said he sought the Lord and then he went. Where'd he go? He went to church. He sought the Lord and then he went to the church. Watch what it says in verse 5. It says, then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, before all those new people he had just put in place to handle everything. He stood before them in the church. I imagine he didn't say it in words, but he probably looked out at them and said, you know, I got you guys where you ought to be, but this one is for the big guy. You can't handle this. Just sit out there and be cool. So he said he stood before his new court and before all the people of Jerusalem and Judah and said, O Lord God of our Father, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over the kingdom of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple, and in your presence, your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and say, and now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are now, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit. Emphasis. They have come in to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Watch what he says here. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. We don't know what to do, so we're looking to you. Everything around here is yours, is your possession, even us. So, what can we do with all of these people coming to us? You understand what he's saying here. He is saying that when you surrender yourself and everything that you have over to God, then you expect God to take care of you. He's standing in the middle of the assembly, speaking to all of the people, crying out to God. Not in a secret place. And by him standing in the public square, speaking to all of the people come along beside him and agree with what he's saying, and they're all on one accord. So God will answer his prayer quickly. And one of the congregants, one of the priest's sons, had a word from God and told him. Said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. The battle is not yours. It belongs to God. You understand what happened here? It says that he became fearful, and the first thing he did was sought the Lord. Or have you heard that before? Or have you heard that before? Well, in your book, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other stuff will be added to you. Jehoshaphat probably never heard that before. He had faith. Matthew wrote it down for our example and for our admonishment. When we get in trouble, that's a lie, though. You're a lie.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. He says that Matthew wrote it down so that we could prosper from it. It was wrote down for our example, so we know what to do. You get in trouble, seek the Lord. If you belong to the Lord, then you don't have to worry about it. Because every person that you know, or every man, he protects his own property. And when you belong to the Lord, you are his now. So you got no calls. You got no calls to fight. All you got to do is wait and see what he's going to do. This is what the young man said. Don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. The battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. He just told him. He said, all of these things that were your possession, all of these things are your possession, even us, because you gave it to us. And now we have built you a sanctuary here so that when we get in trouble, that we can come and stand in this sanctuary and cry out to you. Because we can't handle it. You understand? He is saying that we don't know what to do. We can't say that because sometimes we have too much pride. I gotta know what to do about everything because I'm over 21. We have to be able to, I don't know what to do.
Amen.
And then seek the Lord.
Yes.
He has all the answers. He has all of the supplies, and he is more powerful than anything. We say it all the time.
Yes.
All powerful, all knowing.
Yes.
My God, and my God, and my God.
Yes.
You see, it is not a bad thing to question the promises of God seeking confirmation.
Amen.
See, Jehoshaphat was not disrespecting God. He said, ain't you the God of heaven and all of the earth? Don't you have everything in your power? Can't you handle everything? He's questioning God's authority for confirmation. And that's a good thing to do. We need to do more believing and less begging, and then we can get something done, because that is going to the throne boldly.
Yes.
And he says, come into the throne room boldly.
Yes.
When you come to the throne boldly, it means that you know what you're doing. So you see, you have to know what the promises are before you can repeat them.
Yes.
You can't question them if you don't know what it is. But when something, God, didn't you say you would supply all my needs? If you didn't know he said it, you couldn't ask it.
That's right.
Lord, didn't you say you'll be with me always, even to the end of time?
Amen.
You're confirming what he said. That's the promise he made. You're confirming it. You're not saying, Lord, I don't believe you're here because you said you're going to be with me all the time and now you ain't. No, you're confirming what he said to let him know you know what he said, and that is what you're expecting. And this is why I said, we're looking to you for the things that you promised that you would do. We're looking for that. We say it all the time. Did you come this morning expecting?
Yes.
That's asking for confirmation, but God said that, you know, I sent my word to heal you. Well, where is it, God? You're asking and then you're expecting to receive it, not questioning because you ain't got it. You see, what Jehoshaphat did here was give you the principles of the prayer of faith. Giving you the principle of the prayer of faith. Watch what takes place here. When the boy told him, he says, don't worry about it. The fight is not yours. The fight belongs to God.
Yes, it does.
You've given everything that you have to him. And you've given yourself to him. So you got nothing left. You got nothing to fight for. Everything belongs to him.
That's right.
So he's going to fight for you. And when you do that, then he wants you to understand that the fight is not yours, it belongs to him.
Yes.
He's going to take care of you. And watch what he says here. In verse 16, he says, tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you.
Hallelujah.
I want to translate what he just said here. He is saying, be still. Don't help. You've given it to me. Now you just show up and watch what I do.
That's
right. Don't you try to help. Just be still and watch so you can see how I deal with it.
Amen.
No, no. What? Shut up and be still? No. No, I can't do that. Not after what they've done to me. I gotta tell this. Somebody's gotta know what they've done to me. And I'm gonna tell everybody I can, because this is ridiculous what they're doing to me and how I get and how they and what they and then it's not gonna work for you because you won't follow instructions.
Right, that's right.
That's be right. Still and watch the salvation of the Lord. Once it happens, you tell him, you don't have to tell it no more. You do not have to tell Sister. I don't want to call nobody. You don't have to tell Sister Mariette next door. She don't need to know. She can't help you. Once you tell God, then you forget about it and watch to see what he does.
Amen.
Every time you speak about it, you give it strength.
Amen.
There is a story in 2 Kings of the Shulamite woman. I believe it's 2 Kings in 4, somewhere in there. But anyway, it's the Shulamite woman who has a son who she didn't even expect to have. Elijah gave her a son. And the son grows up to be a little boy and gets a sunstroke and dies sitting on his mother's lap. And she takes the boy and takes him into the house up the stairs and puts him on Elijah's bed and goes back out and tells the husband, honey, can I have one of the donkeys so I can ride up to see the man of God? The old heathen husband said, what are you going up there for? Today ain't Sunday. Wait, where are you going to see the preacher for? Today ain't Sunday. Ain't no new movie. She said, everything's okay. Just give me one of the mules and one of the boys to run up there. She gets on the mule, tell the boy, go fast as you can unless I tell you to stop. She's on her way to see the man of God. Her son is at home dead. She ain't told her husband nothing, just as much his son as hers. Well, we think, Anyway, she gets to in sight of the man of God, and he sees her coming, and he tells his servant, Gehazi, run down and meet the Shulamite woman. She has a problem, but the Lord hadn't told me what it is yet. Find out if everything's okay with her, her husband, and the boy. So Gehazi runs down the trail, and he runs out and meets the Shulamite woman, and he asks her, is all well with you, your husband, and the boy? She said, all is well. And take me to the man of God. And when she gets to the man of God, she falls down at his feet and said, didn't I tell you not to play with me and give me no son? And then it hits him that something's wrong with the son. He calls the servant, tell him to take his staff, go and lay it on the boy who's laying on the bed. The point, and what we want to stress is, that here is a woman whose son is dead, and she is telling everybody that all is well. She has that principle that life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
And those who has it feeds on it. If you talk about it, it gets bigger. If you don't talk about it, it lays dormant. If she tells the only one that needs to know, then let him handle it and worry about it.
That's right.
And then she stays there, and the man says, well, she said, no, I'm not going anywhere. I'm never going to leave you until you go and see about my son. And when he goes and see about her son, she goes with him. And peradventure, the son is brought back to life and presented back to his mother. But I want to stress the point of the Shulamite woman's faith, the Shulamite woman's strength, how she was able to keep that and tell no one except the people that was necessary to talk to. In those days, they don't have what we have. You see, we now can go directly to God. We don't have to tell anybody.
Amen.
But in those
Amen.
Days, the priest was the man. You had to go through the priest. That's the only way you got with God, is through the priest. That was it. So she did the proper thing. She went to the man. And here's another good example. Jesus Christ came to earth as a human being, and he knows everything. And he selected 12 men to follow him around and learn what he do so that they could do what he did when they left town.
Yes.
And do you know that he selected a guy that was going to deceive him and get him killed,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't tell nobody?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ knew Judas was going to deceive him the day that he told Judas, okay, you can come with us.
Mm-hmm.
You can come with us. And then what did he do? He said, okay, you can come with us, and you're the treasure. You keep the money. Now how did you see? Judas had a weakness. He was stealing from the money all the time. But Judas was doing what he wanted to do. You see, and this is important for church folks. You don't give nobody a job that they don't want to do.
That's right.
If Judas didn't have the money bag, he probably would have been doing a lot of other crazy stuff. But because he had the money bag, he had the thing he could steal from was accessible. So he'd done the best job that any of the rest of them would have done. because he will keep the bag. You see how smart Jesus was. He gave him a job that he really wanted, to be in control of the money, because money was what he saw. He sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. But Jesus never told anybody. And why didn't he tell the guys sitting up at the Lord's Supper that we're about to do? He said to them, he said, tonight, one of you will betray me. And every one of those guys said, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Because they all knew that they were human and they were frail and weak. He knew all along who it was. But had he told them at any point in their journey, do you know what he would have done? He would have destroyed what he was building. Men of principle, men of God. Because if he'd have told them, well, guys, now we're going to do this, but Judas is going to betray me after 3.5 years. They would have hated Judas. They would have never got along with Judas. He would have never been able to preach and teach because he would have always been breaking them up from fighting and trying to kill Judas. Do you understand? We don't have to tell.
Right.
Talking is not important unless you are imparting something of value.
Yes.
You don't have to tell. He says here, be still. Just be still. Don't help. Don't do nothing. Just give it to me, and then you watch and see what I do. Watch me and see what I do. But we can't do that because, we got to tell somebody because we have to know that they know that I've been mistreated. And you have to look at me with a little sympathy so that I know that you feel my pain. I don't want you to think that I'm happy and gay and everything's all right with me. I want you to think that something's wrong with me and you need to know that you need to treat me a little gingerly. Because I've been scarred. Them old people is coming to try to kill me. And you want to talk to me about the party next week? What about them people who are coming to kill me? Give it to God and then go to the party. Because this is what he did. You know what he did? It says they got up early the next morning. Got up early the next morning. And got in formation, getting ready to go to the place where God had told them to go to watch the fight. And it says that before they got ready to go, Jehoshaphat gave them a lecture, so to speak, and explained to them, if you believe in God, you will be established. If you believe in the prophet, you will be prosperous. And then he called his singers. Then he called his worship team. He called the praise people. And he put them in front of the soldiers who was heading out. He put them in front and advised them, okay, now let's praise and worship and be thankful as we go there. So they started to go to the destination and they began to praise and worship and give thanks to God. And as soon as they started to praise and worship, it says that the enemy got confused. The enemy got confused. Three different countries, right? Coming together. They got confused and started fighting each other. The three countries, Syria, Mount Syria, Ammon, and Moab. They got confused and started to fight each other. So when Jehoshaphat and his people got to the place where they were supposed to watch, everybody was already dead. Do you see what happened? You see, this is something that's almost nearly impossible for us again. They started out giving thanks for something that they didn't even have yet. They were doing the victory dance and marching and singing and thanking God for the victory before they got to the fight. The people were still coming and they were still going. They didn't know what was going to happen. But they trusted God that he was going to handle it.
Yes.
So they gave thanks before they got there.
Yes.
And when they start giving thanks for the victory, the enemy got confused. And they won the victory without even seeing the fight. What we're talking about is faith. Faith. What Mark tells us about in Mark 11, 23 and 24, where he says, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and do not doubt, but believe that those things that you say, and you can have whatsoever you say. You see, that's what Jehoshaphat was doing. He believed that they were going to have the victory. He believed there wasn't nothing going to happen to them, so they started giving thanks before they knew the outcome. And when they got there, the fight was over. Everybody was dead. And watch this. It says now they were tasked with cleaning up all of those dead bodies. But when they went down to clean the bodies up, they found so much jewels and riches. Till it took them 3 days to gather up all of the good stuff before they could bury the bodies. And we say to ourselves, nobody takes all of this stuff to a battle. You go into battle, you pull your Rolex off and take all your money out of your pocket. You're leaving home, so if anything happens, you're back. Well, it appears that these guys brought everything with them. Well, because they probably thought, well, if I get captured, maybe I can buy my way out. You know? But at any rate, Judah and Israel got all of that spoil because they had it all. We, on the other hand, we don't say thanks till we get whatever we're looking for in our hot little hands, and then we say thanks. Because that's what we've been taught. But the principle of faith is when you ask, give thanks at the same time.
Yes.
That is the principle of the prayer of faith.
Yes.
You're asking and thanking Him for it at the same time because when you ask Him, you know that He's going to give it to you. There's no doubt in your mind that you're not going to get it. So you ask and you say thanks and you are expecting to get it. Now, you don't know when you're going to get it, but you're expecting it anytime. And you say, this is why when we say on a Sunday morning when you get up and you're prettying yourself up to go out and come to church, you should have something in your mind that you'd like to have. Why? Because you're going to the place where He's placed His name. And when you get there, you want what you come for. Well, I want some peace this week. I mean, I had a bad week last day. I want peace and rest next week. So that's what you come expecting. You come and expect to hear something that will enhance your ability to proceed towards the goal that you have set for yourself.
That's right.
This is faith. You see, and this is how our faith grows. And each and every time we do that, we learn that God is truly a God of His Word and that God truly supplies all of your needs. That you can truly cast your cares upon Him and He'll care for you.
Yes.
That He will truly give you rest when He says, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When you come expecting these things because you know them, remember, if you don't know the promises, you can't repeat them. But when you repeat them and ask for them and you come and seek them where He is, fear came upon Him and He sought the Lord. When these things come upon you, and you seek the Lord, and you go where you know He is, then you expect to get what you went after.
Amen.
You know what I'm trying to say here? Has anybody ever went to Smith's to try to buy a Ford? No, they don't sell them there. You don't go there expecting to buy no car. You want a can of tuna or a loaf of bread. That's what you go there for. Now, if they don't have that, you are disappointed.
Yes.
because you expect it. This is how you conduct your Christian walk, when you go in God's will and seek what God has promised you and you don't get it, then you need to go back and say, okay, what went wrong? Something happened. Because I asked, I suppose, and then you was generally finding something you did. You were talking to Sister Mary, whatever her name was, over the fence. This, again, is our instructions. This is our instructions. We can access all that God has simply by following His instructions. And when we step out of God's will and out of bounds, then we lose that ability and we lose that authority. But when you're operating in the principles and the promises of God, then there is no failure. God cannot fail. He cannot fail. But we have to understand that, and that's where we have to design our walk. Walk in the way that God set out for us to go, so that we can access all of the promises that He's made to us.